I'll do my best to be quick tonight. I ain't got a lot of notes and stuff, and preached too long this morning, and try to make it quick here. We've been preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to kind of skip here tonight because we really should be preaching on Enter Ye In at the Straight Gate, but we're preaching on the Kingdom of God on Wednesday nights, and that's kind of where we're at there, and I'd hate to just be too repetitive about it, so... Right, Matthew chapter 7, let's read verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets." Now that's right after "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Be very careful. Broad's the way, and wide's the gate, and broad's the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leads unto life, and few there be that go enter in there. And then he says, beware of false prophets, because that's the biggest hindrance right there. Yes, biggest hindrance for you getting in that narrow way through the straight gate is the false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look just like the real deal, talk just like the real deal, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Bible says that Satan is an angel of light. Therefore, it is no marvel that his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. Devil don't send preachers that act like heathens and look like it and talk like it. The most deceitful kind are the kind that talk about righteousness, but inwardly, they're different. Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 27 and verse 14 and 15, God has given a message to those people we were talking about this morning, apostate Israel, getting ready to be judged, carried off to Babylon, and God has this message for him. He says, "Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon." Remember I told you that this morning, that he told them that they were going to serve the king of Babylon. But the false prophet said, "You ain't going to do that. That ain't going to happen. We're not going to be taken over. We're going to stand. God won't let him get us." You hear what God said right there? "Tell them not to listen to the prophets that speak to him, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name. They said God sent them." God said, "I didn't send them." They say they're telling the truth, and God said they're lying. This is Jeremiah, the real prophet, talking about all the other prophets of that apostate time, who were encouraging the people and who were so patriotic and who supported everything about Israel, even though they were in such a terrible state. You better stand for righteousness and not for some other cause. Amen. I believe in righteousness. I believe that's what God wants us to stand for. That's what God will stand for. He won't stand for us if we're wicked and ungodly as a nation. He'll judge us just like he did then. "They prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out and that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you." That's Jeremiah 27, verses 14 and 15. All right, one more verse or passage I want to read in Ezekiel chapter 13. "And the word of the Lord," it's verse 1, "came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel and that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes that in the desert." It's always been this way, everybody. It's always been this way. Wherever there's a real reality of God, there'll be a false one. Wherever there's a truth told, there'll be a thousand lies told. And Jesus is telling us in the Sermon on the Mount here, beware of false prophets. Now we're warned often in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well about false prophets. They always... They'll always be around, especially when somebody has approached this straight gate that we read about in the verses before here and is considering what to do about it. The false prophet will always be there. I remember years ago, we went out and visited a lot and knocked on doors and bus routes especially. But every once in a while, we get somebody to come into church. And you could just bank on it. But within a week or two, some of the other churches would be visiting them, trying to steal them away. So they wouldn't believe us. You know, the Pentecostals would be there, trying to drag them off to their church. Some of the other churches in town would do the same thing. Anything to get them, keep them from coming to our church. Yeah, it's always that way. It's interesting that this warning about false prophets from the Lord himself is connected with all the teaching and admonition that he'd just given about that straight gate and that narrow way. False prophets are not easily detected. They're not so easy to spot. Amen. I've been fooled a few times. Have you? You ever been fooled by one? Yes, sir, I have. Hopefully, as you get older, as you get more experienced, as you go through it enough times, you get a little sharper. Don't mean we still can't be deceived by them, because they're good at what they do. The devil is good at what he does. And what he does is lie. He's a good liar. He's good at it. He's the expert. He's the father of lies. And he can lie and make you believe it. So the warning from Jesus, beware of false prophets. Beware lest any man deceive you. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see if they be of God. Don't be a sucker for everybody that comes down the pike. Don't be a pushover, an easy mark. Don't swallow everything hook, line, and sinker that somebody throws at you that looks interesting or appealing or entices you or fascinates you. Know the truth and stick with it. False prophets are not easily detected. They're subtle. And they come in sheep's clothing, he told us here. They, by all appearance, they appear to be the real thing at first. You can't spot them just from one little encounter with them. Generally, that's true. Sometimes you can. Depends on how good they are at what they're doing. How deep they're into this thing. But they do not blatantly proclaim heresy and false teachings that everybody would recognize immediately. That's not how a false prophet does. He's keener at what he's doing than that. He knows what people will believe and what they won't believe, and he watches himself. And he's willing to take his time to get settled in to a church or to get the ears of people on a radio program or a TV program or something like that, anything, any kind of thing like that. He's willing to take his time and plow the ground and do it slowly and win the people over. False prophet. They're not easy to detect because they look like the real thing. They wear sheep's clothing. They don't wear the devil's clothing. You don't spot them just right out of the gate. That's real important, y'all. Yes, sir. Don't be carried away with anybody who preaches a sermon or teaches a lesson or gives you some information about prophecy or about anything. Don't jump in so far. I'm cautious. Maybe it's because I've been around too long and been burned so many times. Maybe it's because I've been a fool so many times that I'm real cautious about just jumping on board too quick with anybody. I appreciate good preaching. I appreciate the truth. No matter where it comes from, I like the truth. But I study the truth, and I stick close to the truth. This, and I judge things like what I'm talking about here with a big scale, not just through a peephole. I don't have one or two scriptures that I measure everything by. I don't have just a small little filter that filters everything through. I try to look through the whole counsel of God, plus the experience of life. You know, 40 years helps you around this stuff. 40 years of watching people. 40 years of watching young people be born, grow up, live, and die. Gives you a little bit better understanding about things. Gives you a little keener eye about watching. And so, you know, you can see things in people, and they can, and I'm gracious about things. I mean, I give people a pretty wide swath. I feel like I do. I don't just go around condemning people. I don't go around in my heart. I don't condemn people because they differ with me on this or that or the other. And I'm pretty broad in that. Really, I am. But there's some things that just, boy, it can't be that way. You can't understand God that way and be right, be real, be true. You can't. Now, there's things like that I know. Jesus gave us this warning a lot of times, and he gave us understanding and instruction in how to discern. How do you discern whether a preacher or a teacher is telling you the truth or not? Well, here's what most people do. Here's how most people discern it. I'm telling you the truth tonight. I've been around to see this. This is how most people determine whether a preacher is really of God. One, by how zealous he is. If he's really zealous and really emotional, well, it's God. People just immediately, it's God. I want to tell you, no, it's not. That has nothing to do with it. I've known preachers that cried and snotted and wept all over the church and put on a great big show and turned out to be rascals, buddy, rascals. They wasn't real at all. Time proved it. It unveiled them for everybody to see. That is not the scale we use. That's not the ruler that we use. That's not how we understand if a false prophet is a false prophet. It's not how we identify them by how zealous they are. You know, all these cults are pretty zealous. People get off on crazy kicks and stuff, and they're very zealous about it. That ain't God. That ain't God. Nehemiah talked about zeal without knowledge. Now, that don't count. Zeal. Most of the churches that I've been around through the years, and most of them that I still know of, that's what they run on. They try to run the church on enthusiasm. And it's like a pep rally. And it's always go, go, go. It's like you're at a ball game and you're cheering for your team and it's cheering everybody on and getting everybody excited. And that ain't God. And it ain't God in a prophet or preacher. That ain't how you tell. Some people go by how educated they are. Man, I've seen people just swoon over a preacher because he's got a doctor's degree and he knows all this. If you need to know anything, just ask old brother so-and-so, doctor so-and-so. I've heard him say that. And they think because of his education, he has to be right. And really to them, he's just like the Pope. Like the Catholics believe about the Pope. Never wrong. He's infallible. He speaks the oracles of God. You know, that's a good way to get suckered right in by a false prophet. You ain't a kidding, buddy. That's not how you tell. Paul was greatly educated, and he counted it all as dung. That's what he said. Throwed it all down the sewer. Away with it. That ain't what God's about. That ain't what proves that I'm of God or not. That don't make me a spokesman for God, my education. Now, I told you this morning, education's good. You ought to learn. You got to get knowledge and all that. But that ain't how you tell if a man's of God or not. It's not by how charismatic and charming they are either. Some people have a good personality and they're charming. I'm not. Say amen. Come on. Come on. Say amen. But some of them are, man. They just got the charm and the crowd just swoons while they talk to them. That's God. God. No, it's not God. It's not by, you know, some people think it's how emotional and how they are and how much emotion they produce with their message and delivery. Oh my, that is so true. I've been in churches, I've been in meetings, I've been all these years, and I know that that is the way most people decide whether God has been there or not, by the level of emotion that was in the service. If a preacher can come in and turn up that emotion and get everybody excited, they think God's been here. I hope if I hope that I've got that into you enough till you understand that that is not God. God is when the truth is preached. And God is there when there is liberty, when the Spirit of God is working. And it doesn't follow emotion. There's emotion when God works, but the emotion is not evidence that God's working. Some people think it's by who he is, his family, are they well known, does he have important friends and associates? It's who he is. I mean, where does he fit in the social scale here? I mean, where is he with all the well known, if he runs with the big boys, then he's got to be of God, huh? That's the way most, now you know that most people feel that way, don't you? I do. I know that. And I'm telling you, you better not do that. You better have more spiritual discernment and sense than that. What's the characteristics of a false prophet? Well, number one, he has no straight gate. It's wide. Why, you can't tell who's saved and who's not. That's a false prophet. Only a false prophet would say something like that. Amen. His way is not narrow. There's no narrow way. Well, you don't know who's saved and who's not. And we're all sinners, ain't we? We sin every day in thought, word, and deed. We sin hour by hour, minute by minute. It ain't been a few months ago I heard a Baptist preacher say that. I sat in the church and heard him say it. I don't think we can go a minute without sinning. Well, then Jesus didn't accomplish one thing. To me, that's blasphemy. I mean, that is one of the greatest insults you could say. You might as well curse his name as blaspheme him like that. If he didn't deliver you from your sin, he ain't done nothing for you. That's a false prophet will teach you that. A real prophet will glorify Jesus, and he'll be against sin. It'll be death. Sin is death. But a false prophet won't. He'll make a way. He'll make an excuse. He'll make a defense for it. And that's one of those key things that marks people in my book. There's no way, I mean, I'm not no genius, and I'm not all that educated about anything, but I can tell you this. I understand that salvation is about deliverance from sin, because sin is what separates us from God. And sin is the problem. And sin is why Jesus came to this world. And if he didn't do anything about it, then this is all a bunch of junk. We might as well ditch it and go live with him. But I know that he did. And I know that being a preacher of the gospel and reading and a preacher of this book, I don't know how you can get your mind so twisted that you jump to the defense of sin in people who profess to be saved at the drop of a hat. You're ready with a hair trigger to jump anybody's case who dares to say that we can have victory over sin in our life. And that's where we're at in this apostate mess that we're in right now. You seen it there last week, see? I can do that every week. I can do that every day. I get on there and just say a few words, and out of there they'll come, boy. I promise you. But on any other day, they're talking about all the work of the church, and they're talking about all, and you'd think that they're just great preachers of the gospel. A false prophet will defend sin. He won't stand against it. He'll fake standing against it. He'll preach against sin in general terms, but it's always an option. You can, with a false prophet, it's just an option. You can be delivered from sin if you want to, maybe, but that's not necessary. You can be saved and go to heaven and live a life of sin. That's a false prophet. That's how you identify. They do not have a straight gate, narrow way. They have a broad way and a wide gate. And they'll make room for everybody. Yes, sir. I'm telling you the keys right here, how to discern. He doesn't exclude anybody from heaven. Well, I'm not the one who decides. God has already decided that, and he wrote it in this book, and then he called me to preach this book, and you too. And I just tell you what the book says. And the book's real clear about it. There's places where it says, you know, be not deceived. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then it goes on and names sins, certain sins, fornicators, adulterers, thieves, drunkards, all that, not going to heaven. They're not going. Don't be deceived about this, he says. But a false prophet ain't going to mess with that. A false prophet is going to make a way for them. I have heard independent Baptist preachers preach that and say they are going to heaven. That's not what it means. Well, they're liars. They're liars. They're false prophets. There's a lot of things I could say right there, but I'll move on. I told you I'd hurry, and I'm going to try my best to hurry. He'll hedge and compromise to keep from offending people. False prophet will do that. A real prophet don't want to offend people. I mean, it does bother him that people get offended by the things he says. And let me tell you something. It's just like this morning. Some of the stuff I said, I know that it's offensive. And I know that certain people sitting here are offended by it. But I got to say it. If I back off from it and don't say something because I'm afraid it'll hurt so-and-so's feeling, when it's a basic truth and it's important here, then I'm a false prophet. I'm a compromiser. I'm looking out for myself instead of your soul and everybody else's that's sitting here listening. False prophet, he's going to please everybody. Listen to Joel Osteen, see if he offends anybody. I listened to him on Larry King, and Larry King tried his best to get Joel Osteen to say the devil was bad, and he would not do it. He would not do it. I listened to it. I'm not telling you what somebody told me. He could not get him to say that the devil was bad. Wow. One of the biggest churches in the United States. Most popular preacher. Got $13 million advance on one of the books he wrote. This has been several years ago. Ain't no telling how many he's written since then. But he don't write books anyway. He takes his sermons and puts them all together, and there's a book. Amen. But he don't offend people. No, sir. Not at all. Jesus did. Did you know that? He called those Pharisees snakes, vipers, children of the devil. You hypocrites, you vipers. The disciples said, did you know? Now, not that instance, but another instance, he said something to them. And then when they got away, the disciples said, Lord, did you know that you offended them? Well, I'm sure he wasn't even aware of it. Sometimes it's necessary. But a false prophet, don't worry about that. His most important thing is not offending people. Had somebody tell me years ago when I started preaching, they said, you can draw more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And I said, well, I ain't trying to draw flies, man. What in the world? What kind of analogy is that? This ain't a garbage dump. We ain't dishing out garbage. Characteristics of the false prophet. He's He doesn't believe in the narrow way, and he's tolerant of other views, no matter how unscriptural or wicked they are. He makes salvation easy and the Christian life easy. I heard a man say one time, Baptist preacher, he said, it's easier than joining the Boy Scouts. Well, I wouldn't want to join the Boy Scouts anyway, because they're not even the Boy Scouts. Here pretty soon, they're not. It's the BSA Scouts of America or something like that. I don't know what the BSA stands for now. Maybe they're being sneaky about it, but got to let girls in the Boy Scouts so they can't be Boy Scouts anymore. Good night. He makes salvation easy. Let me tell you something. That salvation is simple, but it is not easy. It's the fight of your life. Yes, sir. You ain't getting through that straight gate without a fight. The kingdom of heaven is taken by violence since John the Baptist. It's been taken by violence. And the violent take it by force. That means you ain't getting in without a fight. And it's got to be a fight on your part. And it's life or death, eternity. And so it ain't easy, but they make it easy. Just, you don't have to say a thing. You don't even have to stand up. You don't have to raise your hand. If you, in your heart, you just repeat after me what I say. They'll do anything, make it as easy as they can. Just like a salesman selling you some junk on the easy payment plan. And it ain't junk, and it ain't easy. And so, any preacher, any teacher, any so-called Christian that makes it so easy, they're not telling you the truth. It's false prophet. Jesus said, beware of them, beware of them. Makes it easy. And he makes the Christian life easy, and that ain't easy either. We got a rest coming. We got a reward coming. There's another time coming when things are going to be different. But for right now, in the world, you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's a better day coming. I'm going to prepare a place for you where there ain't going to be no tribulation there. But as for the time being, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. We're soldiers of the cross. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what it's about. And a true preacher of the gospel will teach you that. And he'll try to equip you with that. And he'll try to prepare you and train you for that. Instead of telling you, oh, it's all easy and it's a bed of roses. And boy, if you're saved, you're going to be healthy. You won't be sick and you'll be rich. And God will take care of you. And everything. All you got to do is ask him. He suffers no persecution. Everybody loves him. If he's a false prophet, everybody loves him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Woe to you. When all men speak well of you. Because that Jesus said, because that's just how they did the false prophets. Everybody liked him. Everybody loved him. He was just their little old preacher. You know, down south, that's what they say. Our little preacher. Our little preacher, he's a great guy. Everybody loves him. They don't offend nobody. Well, everybody's going to heaven. Anybody dies, he preaches them right into heaven, no matter how they were living. If you preach and you tell people that some people are going to go to hell, that you're out right there. They don't like you. If you tell them or insinuate in any way that what they're doing in their life is not pleasing to God and wrong, and they're going to answer to God and God's going to judge them for it, man, they hate you. You remember Ahab? Got the preacher out of the dungeon, brought him out. He said, I hate him because he always prophesies evil against me. He never says nothing good about me. Every time I see him, he's just negative. And he was. He brought him out and he mocked the false prophets. Mocked them. And then Ahab said, come on. Let me have it. So he let him have it. He said, see, I told you. To Jehoshaphat, he said, see what I told you? Take him back to the dungeon. But who told him the truth? His false prophets that were dancing around there with their drama and their illustrations and their horns and saying, this is how it's going to be. You're going to go up there and push them back. Yeah, God's going to deliver you. And the real prophet said, you go up there, you're going to die. What happened to him? He died. Yes, he did. Just like the real prophet told him. False prophets, they don't suffer persecution. Everybody loves them. And it isn't what he says as much as what he doesn't say. The things he leaves out of his preaching and teaching tell more about him than the things that he does talk about. Amen to that. I can see that real clear. That's the big problem here. That's why we got so many empty pews here. Because the way I preach here, used to, they had preachers in here that preached like this. And people in town came here. This place used to be full. But not anymore. I still preach the things that the people, man who pastored this church, was the moderator when I was ordained to preach. And if I had answered questions that he asked me a certain way, they would have refused to ordain me. And then he quit believing what he demanded of me. So I'm still preaching what they said was the truth then. But nobody wants it now. They're not preaching it anymore. The ones who are still alive, whose names are on my ordination certificate, which are very few of them, they're not preaching that anymore. They're leaving it off. They're leaving it out. And you can tell it real clear when you look at their church members. And you see them out in public. And you see what kind of lives they're living. And when you see their children and their grandchildren, you can see what leaving out some of it does. So you can tell what they leave off more. You can tell by what they're leaving out more than what you can tell by what they're still talking about. They've narrowed it down to real watered down. I've sat in these pews right here and heard somebody else up here preaching lots of times. And I've heard phrases like soft soaping the gospel and watering down the gospel and compromising. I've heard it so many times from this pulpit. But you don't hear it anymore, do you? A false prophet always comforts. He always says, peace, peace. Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed also the heart of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. See, that's what it does to the people in our country right now. And the people in the churches, when you just say, everything's going to be all right. That's what they're saying. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. God's got this. God's going to take care of us. He always has. We're His people. Don't worry, don't fear. And they preach that kind of stuff. And it helps people slightly because it takes away their fears, kind of like drugs and alcohol does for just a little bit. They feel better, and then they go home, and after a few days in the world, and they realize how everything, it's back to the fear and the dread again. And they know this can't go on, but the preacher keeps telling them, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God will help us. God will deliver us. False prophet. Real prophet will tell you like Jeremiah did, you better get your house in order because the king of Babylon is coming. He's going to burn this place to the ground. He's going to take every one of your children off, and they're going to be eunuchs in his kingdom over there, in his palace. And they say, no, we ain't believing that. Now they put him in a hole in the ground and put a rock on top of it so they wouldn't have to listen to him. They brought in their false prophets and they told them everything's going to be all right. Peace, peace. But it wasn't all right. And it happened just like he told them it was going to happen. He never reproves, rebukes, or exhorts as the Bible commands pastors to do. Yeah, it's not fun. It's not a pleasurable thing to reprove people when they don't want to be reproved. You know, we're living in a time, and it's always been this way, but I mean, we're living in a rebellious time. People don't want to hear it. They don't want you telling, they don't want nobody telling them they're wrong about anything. They don't want anybody telling them they ought to do this or they ought to do that or they shouldn't do this or they shouldn't. Don't you tell me what to do. I make up my own mind what I want to do. Don't you condemn me. Don't you judge me. Don't you tell me. Well, a preacher's duty, if he's of God, is to reprove, rebuke, say, you're wrong. That's not all. I mean, he's to teach. He's to be apt to teach. He's to be given to hospitality. He's to be patient with all men. But that's part of it. It comes as a whole deal. A real preacher of God is going to do all of that. He ain't going to leave off some of it. He ain't going to just be sugar and spice and everything nice and just preach goody-goody messages all the time. There's a time when we need that. You need to come to church once in a while and hear something sweet. You need to come to church sometime and preach about heaven and get your minds thinking about that. We need a balanced diet, but we need it all. We don't need just all candy and sweets. Won't be healthy that way. Can't survive on that. He conforms to the world. He focuses on helpful messages to improve our quality of life in our modern culture. Now, I challenge you, just do a little search or whatever. Do it on the internet, whatever you want to do. Just search messages that were preached today in the churches around the country. And then come back and tell me if that ain't right. Most of them are about how to improve your life in this modern world. He conforms to the world and its philosophies so as not to contradict the lifestyles of the worldly values of the people sitting in his pews that pay his paycheck. He's a hireling. He's doing it for money. He's doing it for a life of ease. And so therefore, he's going to accommodate as many as he can in as many pews as he's got. Because it's money, man. Money. Every person sitting in the pews, every family sitting in the pews is more money. He's a hireling. Yes, sir. And he'll flee when the wolf comes. Because he don't care for the sheep. He's a hireling. Jesus said that. That's how you know. He never makes anyone uncomfortable with his message. Oh my, he preaches very little or nothing on doctrine because that isn't what makes people feel good. When a preacher preaches on doctrine and says, thus saith the Lord, and this is how it is, and lays it out for you, and teaches you and instructs you, then that makes you recognize error. That creates a problem because you got family, you got friends, you got people you work with who don't believe like that. Put you in a bad spot, see? So a false prophet ain't going to do that to you. He's going to be one of these like that says, well, we don't preach doctrine at our church. Yes, sir. Well, that ain't no church if they don't preach doctrine. Amen. He never makes anybody uncomfortable, and he's willing to believe and base his doctrine on experience, emotion, and whatever happens. You know, that's the way the contemporary church is nowadays. It's all based on emotion. And it's based on experiences. How many of them do you hear talk about their visions and their tongues and their ghouly things that happen? We sitting in church. We was in church one night in a Baptist church, independent Baptist church, and the preacher kind of turned things loose, which you got to be very careful, especially if you got a big crowd and you turn people loose, start testifying. I heard Brother Milby, he said, when you start having a testimony service, he said, if the sheep won't testify, the wolves will start howling right away. And that's the truth. And I remember that woman, she got up, an old woman, she's crazy as a bed bug. Everybody knew it. But anyway, she got the floor. And she started telling about losing a necklace. You remember that? I lost my necklace. It was one of my favorite necklaces. And I mean, here's a testimony, sir. We're supposed to be glorifying the Lord. We're supposed to be praising the Lord. Jesus is supposed to have the preeminence in the church. Is that right? He's the head. We ought to be glorifying Him. We ought to be thanking Him for His blessings and everything. Well, that's what she's doing. She's thanking Him because she lost her necklace and couldn't find it and searched and searched. And suddenly, there was like a streak of lightning, a ray of light that shined and showed her where that necklace was. Praise the Lord. Is that how God works? He ain't never done that for me. I don't read about it here. I think it's craziness. I think it's the devil. That's what I think. Yes, sir. I mean, it's wolves howling. And that's one thing about a real preacher, pastor, man of God. He knows how to deal with wolves. How you deal with a wolf? Well, yeah, you shoot him. That's what you do. You shoot him. Or you run him off. But when you run them off, they come back again. I mean, when you deal with them, you better deal with them very firmly and strongly, or they'll be back. False prophet won't deal with wolves. He'll let them sit right in the church and just keep on. Yes, sir, boy. I remember the time we were going to have a graduation over there in Virginia, and the preacher, he... The year before, had the graduation in the church, and some of the family came, and they were half naked and everything, got up in front of the church, and they was in among everything in front of everybody at a Christian school graduation. It was a special thing for the kids at the school. It wasn't a great big... But anyway, he the Sunday before, he got up in front of the church, and he just announced like this. He said, "Now, I want you all to listen to me." He said, "I'm going to give you one warning." He said, "Next week, we're going to have the graduation." And he said, "You better warn your family members that when they come here, they're welcome to come, they're welcome to take pictures, they're welcome to be a part of it, but they better wear clothes and dress decently, or I will embarrass you." Guess what? Everybody showed up. There wasn't no problem. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes. He wasn't mean. He just told them just how it was and what was going to happen. And that's authority. That's reality. And that's what it takes. I know this world don't like that. They don't like a man. They don't like authority. They don't like somebody telling them this is how it's going to be and that's what we're going to do. A false prophet does not do that. He's a noodle back. He's a coward. He has no foundation. He's like a politician. He's guided by wetting his finger and sticking it in the air. Whatever public opinion is, whatever everybody's opinions, that's how he goes. That's what guides him. There's no truth. He's not the captain. He doesn't try to guide anything. He's just there to keep that paycheck coming in and keep those benefits. And they're pretty good these days, you know that? If you'll do like that, you can get about any old church that's of anything, you know, $60,000, $70,000 a year salary for being a pastor of a church with 50 or 60 people in it. Say, what? I'm telling you the truth. But you got to toe the line. Now, you can't get in there and preach like this. You can't tell them things that's going to offend them. And you can't tell them that some of their relatives are going to end up in hell. Or that they're going to end up in hell if they don't change. You can't do that. You'll be out the door in a hurry. All right, let me hurry up here. He doesn't think sin's a very serious thing. He never preaches on particular sins because that would offend somebody. And if he does mention sin, it's in a real, very general sense and it doesn't put anyone in a corner. Finney said, "Your job as a preacher is to look out on that crowd." And he said, they're hiding. You know, sinners are hiding. And it's your job to uncover them. Well, yeah, that's a different attitude, ain't it? False prophet ain't that way at all. No, sir. He's hiding from their sins. He doesn't want to see. He doesn't want to know it and doesn't want to mention it. He doesn't deny the truths about hell and judgment. He just doesn't mention them. Do you all think that preachers used to preach on hell and mention it more often than they do now? Well, I do. I know that's a fact. I know that used to, when you'd go to church at a revival meeting or something, you was going to hear about hell. Yes, sir. Yes, you were. Now you can go to church for till you're 20 years old and never hear about it. Unless it's a vague reference or something. You don't hear about hell, where people go who die without God. He doesn't deny that those truths, just don't talk about it. It's like I said a while ago, it's what he doesn't mention that identifies him as much as what he does mention. A false prophet will always set himself against a true prophet of God. You can see that in the Bible. Everywhere you look, where there was a true prophet, there was a false prophet, or a bunch of them standing against him. Elijah, remember? Yes, sir. When Micaiah was brought out to Ahab and Jehoshaphat, what I mentioned a while ago, there was a whole bunch of false prophets there. He had to stand alone for the truth. A false prophet will always set himself against a real prophet. He won't be silent. He'll have to say something against him. He'll come out fighting against him. He'll come out and try to slander him, try to discredit him in the eyes and ears of the people, try to get them to not listen to him. Mark him. It's not that hard, everybody. No, sir. It's not that hard. A false prophet will always associate himself with other false prophets in doctrine and practice. Birds of a feather flock together. Yes, sir. And I've mentioned it often, but one of the things Brother Owen taught me too was how to recognize that. He said, when I have a preacher in, he said, I know my church. And he said, I know who's worldly and who's spiritual. And he said, when the worldly people in my church love this preacher I got in, that tells me something. And he said, when the spiritual people of the church like him, that tells me something too. Because he said, the worldly people will never like him. They never liked the same kind of preaching. By their fruits you shall know them. But also, he said, if you were of the world would love his own. The world loves its own. Birds of a feather flock together. False prophets congregate together. They associate one with another. They form fellowships and cooperative things together. And they exclude others. You know what it feels like to be excluded? Well, it feels kind of bad unless you know these things and you begin to understand, you know. If they exclude you because you're just a wretched person and a hateful, you know, smart aleck, that's one thing. But when they exclude you because you believe in truth and righteousness and you hate sin and stand against it and tell people there's a better way and they exclude you for that, well, y'all just rejoice. When people refuse to associate with you because you're different in that way, well, I just say, well, praise the Lord. I mean, I wish they would like me, but if that's what it costs for them to like me, I'll do it alone. I'll just walk it alone. Yes, amen. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. You always found him alone. Elijah, when they sent him out after him, where'd they find him? Sitting on a hill by himself. Wasn't flocking out there to hear him. Nobody was. Nobody associated with him. He was the enemy in the eyes of all the other false prophets, see? A false prophet is always looking for his own gain. He's a hireling. He's in it for the money. A gain of any kind for himself. Praise, popularity, easy life, because he likes the job. It's one thing that's really crippled the work of God, is all these hirelings. You know, I've known people whose job and life calling was to be on deputation for life. Yeah. So they can go to churches, and they get an offering at every church, and every once in a while they pick up a little support, so they got steady income, plus weekly love offerings, and place to stay, and get wined and dined, and get to travel and see the world, and say, man, that's awful. I know it's awful. It's terrible. But that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. His primary goal in his preaching and teaching is always to get people to like him, to make a name for himself. And that's the prevailing priority always. Those who have a true man of God should be very thankful, because they're rare. They should pray for him and support him and never flatter him or lavish him with gifts. You know, that's what I've always hated to see in a church, because, man, you're doing him wrong by doing him that way. You hinder him by doing him that way. You're showing that you really don't love the truth he's preaching. You're laying a net for him. Yeah, y'all say, amen, that's good. We'll never do that. They should defend him against those who attack him and stand with him on the truth. If you know any preacher that'll stand for the truth, when he's attacked, you ought to come to his defense. And I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about others that'll stand for the truth. You ought to stand with them. Don't leave them out there hanging on a limb to dry while the wolves eat him up. Jump in there and just support. They should defend him. They should respond to his words from God and submit to God's authority in their life. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Come to you in sheep's clothing. Beware. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be wise. Be careful. That's the thing. There's a great danger. Did you read the thing in the bulletin this morning? The first little paragraph in the things, the little quotes and things on the right-hand page underneath the verse. Read that sometime. What it's talking about. Was it Spurgeon? I believe it was. But he said that, the greatest danger is being deceived. He said, I don't try to preach, to make you not have any hope. I just try to make you examine your hope so you'll be more secure. Amen. Now, that's what a man who really cares will do for you. He'll force you to question it once in a while, to examine yourself once in a while. He'll keep the test before you so that you don't sit in the pew and live your life deceived and end up in hell. Go to hell from a church pew. Man alive. What horrible thing. All of the old-time preachers through the centuries, that was their greatest concern, was that people would get a false hope. Want to make that hope sure. Make your election, calling an election sure. Be sure. Be sure you're right. Be sure you're in the truth. Be sure you're grounded. That you ain't took a wooden nickel from somebody, some smooth talker. Some charming person who was able to talk you into something and make you believe something that ain't right. Jesus is warning us here. Beware of false prophets. And my goodness, it's in there. You ought to look that up sometime. Just study that. How many warnings in the New Testament about false prophets? How many warnings Jesus himself gave about watch and be not deceived? And beware of false prophets. Jesus mentioned it a lot. Because it's always the greatest danger to your soul. The temptations of the world, that's one thing. But this is the greatest danger that you're in. Greatest danger of your soul. You're going to listen to somebody that's going to lie to you. And make you think you're okay when you're not. All right, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll go home. Amen. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. Appreciate you listening. I hope you listened and you didn't just look like you was listening. This goes for all of us too, Most preachers are looking and, you know, reading other people and stuff all the time. I do. And so I have to be very careful. I have to be very careful about what I believe and who I read and what I swallow down that somebody else says. I've got more careful about it now than I used to be. I used to grab on to things a lot easier and a lot quicker, and I don't now. I just don't. I've got a handle on things, and I don't. I'm not in great need of new things. What I understand already is more than I know what to do with. That's right. All right, let's bow. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. Thank you for the word of God and the liberty to preach and the privilege and the opportunity to preach your word, to tell people what you said, and to just kind of explain and expound on it a little bit. And Lord, I pray you'd help us all in these days we're living in. So much deceit and so much misinformation everywhere we look. This world is totally immersed in it, and we are too. We read and we look at things daily that are not true, and we believe many times they are true. Lord, help us in these perilous times when the truth is so hard to be found. Pray you'd help us, Lord, to stick close to your word. Pray you'd guide us with your spirit, that we would follow and be led by the spirit and not go off taking counsel from the ungodly. Please help us now as we go home. Pray you give us a good week. Pray you would help us to walk with you. Help us, Lord, to be lights in this dark time we live in. Pray you'd help us to be a witness and a blessing to somebody out there this week. Watch over us all on the roads, at work, and the different things we have to do. Pray you'd work in hearts this week. And Lord, give us understanding and light in our souls, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.